is absolutely gorgeous. Thank you. That actually is just perfect to end the service on. Yeah, so we can go have brunch. Hello, I'm Sharon Ramey, and it's totally my delight to be back here. Thank you so much for inviting me. And as Christina said, Paul and I, my husband, Paul, will you just stand up really quick? Paul and I met 45 years ago up here. I was a young punk kid, about three at the time, I think. Alaska represented everything good in life. It was really, truly wonderful. Then we decided to get married, and he wanted to be closer to his son, who lived down in Wyoming, and so we moved to Seattle because there wasn't so many plane transfers. So, but I think our hearts got left up here, though. Thank you. And I also wanted to say thank you to my friend Lanny, who I met 44 years ago up here. Stand up, Lanny. And he's one of my heroes because he decided to move back within this last year. And so anyway, it's delightful to come visit him. And my daughter came to be part of this celebration as well. So thank you, Scarlett. So this past week was 4th of July. I hope you all had a great 4th of July. It's one of our family's high holy days because we celebrate freedom that day, celebrate liberty. We start with the freedom that was, we were celebrating the freedom that of our country, but it's more than that. It's the freedom that we have deep inside to do, be, and have whatever it is we want. It's that freedom to choose. I mean, I don't know if you ever think about that. My husband and I and daughter have done a lot of traveling, and we've gone to a lot of countries where they don't have a lot of freedom. And it's quite startling to get off the plane back in the U.S. and realize that if we want to criticize our president, we can. That's a freedom. That if we want to pick up and move to another country, as long as they'll let us in, we can. Do you know what I mean? We aren't bound by a lot of the restrictions and bondage that exists in other countries. So I just, but it also is just a microcosm of what, of the power, the freedom that we have within inside of ourselves. And I think that the only way we know that we have that freedom is by making choices. We only know we have freedom when we go ahead and choose. So just to talk a little bit more about just a metaphor about this. Many of you probably have heard that story about the bear in the cage that was a bear that was in not a zoo but a circus, and it was in this cage and it would walk. I'm gonna take this off because I don't like to, I hate to be constricted. So and the bear would walk 10 paces one direction and 10 paces the other in this cage, 10 paces one way, 10 paces the other. And one day he got set free. An animal habitat was able to procure him, and they took him out of the cage, and they were waiting to see how he might enjoy his freedom. And he walked 10 paces one direction and 10 paces the other direction, and that's all he could do. Even when the circumstances were different and his cage was taken away, he did not get it. He did not understand that he was free to do anything he wanted. There's also a story about how they train elephants. Maybe you know this. They train elephants by taking elephants when they're very young, and they put a stake in the ground, and they tethered the elephant, and so that the elephant basically can only go a certain distance without being yanked back. And the elephants, when they get older, because they are so used to this, you can leave, like, dental floss tied to their to them. And as long as they know there's some tether, they will not go beyond the bounds that were have previously been defined for them. Now, this is not to say how awful animal training is. That's not why I'm up here today. What I'm up here to say is that oftentimes we have those kinds of predetermined boundaries on ourselves. We have created some cages for ourselves. We have created some tethers for ourselves that we don't allow ourselves to move beyond. Anybody ever feel that? It's really quite amazing. And most of these come from words or messages that we've gotten. I mean, think back to childhood. I can remember somebody telling me one time that their teacher told them that they couldn't sing, that to please sit down because they really couldn't sing. And they never sang again. Do you feel the tether on that? That box within which they live? Because not only did they hear that message, they told themselves that message over and over and over again. Choice. How about those messages we give ourselves as we get older and get a little more scared of stepping out of our bounds? How about those messages like, wow, I really feel like I could offer something great to the world in this arena, but I don't want to quit my job. Or I feel called to move and do something with the national organization of fill in the blank, but I don't feel like I can leave. Anybody ever feel those tethers, those cages around them? Self-imposed. Self-imposed, because there's nobody really saying you can't do it. It's the message in our mind that constructs the cage around us, that constructs the tethers that are holding us. It is the messages in our own minds. So I think of the messages you get. I don't have any money for what I want. Well, time and time again, we've achieved things that take money, and somehow we did it, but we don't know where the money came from. Anybody have that experience? Uh-huh. So the boundary was not really there. How about anybody that gave themselves the message, oh, I just don't have the time. And yet, when something's really important, we find the time. So I just ask you to start thinking about what are the messages you're giving yourself that is carefully, methodically, in a very orderly fashion, creating this cage around you or this tether around your neck. One of the stories of freedom that is one of my favorite is the story of Viktor Frankl. Many of you probably know it. Viktor Frankl was a neurologist and a psychiatrist who lived back in the early part of the last century. And in the 30s and 40s, the early 40s, he was a very well-known psychiatrist and researcher. And he lived in Vienna, and he was Jewish. Well, in 1942, he and his family were all taken and put in a concentration camp. Not a very hard one to begin with, but then he was moved to Auschwitz. And then he was moved to Dachau. And all around him, he saw the hopelessness as friends and family were being put to death. And that would be, in my mind, probably one of those places where if there was a place not to feel freedom, that's it, right? I mean, can you imagine? Can you just even imagine the horror and the hopelessness associated with a Nazi concentration camp? Especially Auschwitz or Dachau. And yet, Viktor Frankl had done enough research that he knew that there was an importance in figuring out meaning, and that somehow there must be some meaning in this whole thing called the suffering that they were all experiencing. And somehow there must be something that was drawing him forth into the future. Why is it that he even wanted to stay alive? Why is it that he was even fearful of dying? There was something within him that wanted to stay alive. What? Why? And he figured that out for himself. But more importantly, he started this sort of little underground suicide prevention movement. And anybody that felt so hopeless looking at the situation and watching their friends and family being put to death, anyone who felt so hopeless that they just wanted to die, he would grab them and he would start talking to them and saying, what would be the reason you'd want to stay alive? What is it? Is it your child that's in another country right now? Is it the fact that you've now got a huge story that you want to tell the world? What is it? And he'd get those people talking about that. He'd get those people declaring what it was that was speaking to them about continuing life. He'd get them talking. He would get them declaring. Did the circumstances change immediately? No, they still lived in the horror of the concentration camp, but there was a light. There was something that happened in certain people that caused them to have a reason to want to live. And many of those people were the people that survived. Why? Because there was a declaration on their part that even though they were in this cage, even though they were tethered physically, there was a freedom within them. And what was that saying? I forgot to pull it up on Google, but Viktor Frankl said, everything can be taken from us, but the last of the human freedoms, the freedom to determine our attitude in any given circumstance, everything can be taken from us, but the last of the human freedoms, our freedom to determine our attitude in any given circumstance. So that makes me feel like just slightly embarrassed as I was driving down to Seward yesterday, and I'm behind. I mean, have you guys driven to Seward lately? And you know, and the traffic. I mean, the speed limit says one thing, and everybody seems to be going like 10 miles slower than that, right? And then, so I'm frustrated about that. And then I get down to Girdwood, and the little light that says you have low tire pressure goes on. Darn rental car. I mean, how could this happen, right? And so I'm finding myself getting frustrated. Do you see that in any given circumstance, I am not feeling free. Now, there are a lot of us that probably are not going to visit a concentration camp, but there are a lot of us that are going to drive to Seward, right? And how about when you're driving to Seward, can you feel free, or do you feel a victim of the 27,000 people in front of you who are going 10 miles slower than the speed limit? Like, being able to go fast is going to determine my happiness in life, right? And so then we got, yeah, as I said, we got this, what looked like a flat tire, but I had Paul and Scarlett pray, and it turned out that it was just low tire pressure, and we didn't need the 13 bottles of Fix-A-Flat that Paul bought for me. Anyway, but as I'm driving along, feeling, and Scarlett and Paul are just zoning out with the beauty, I was feeling tense. I was feeling anything but free. And it occurred to me as I'm trying to think about freedom and what I'm going to be saying that I wasn't feeling free. I was feeling a victim of circumstances. And that I could choose in that moment not to be frustrated. I could choose in that moment to look out at the incredible beauty that is unrivaled anywhere in the world. And I could appreciate that, and I could appreciate the fact that I was with my family. I had the freedom to choose my attitude in that circumstance. No, it didn't happen immediately, even though I'm a minister, enlightenment doesn't happen immediately, but it did happen. It did happen. So I guess what I want to say is that what I hear Viktor Frankl saying is, number one, declare. declare what it is you want. As you're looking at your circumstance, what is it you want instead? As you're looking at your circumstance and complaining to high heaven, feeling like a victim, what is it you want instead? So many of us, I don't know if this is true of you, but it's true of me, that oftentimes I complain about something, but I don't have in mind what I want instead. Anybody been there? Like, oh, complain about the traffic or the, but I don't stop to actually say that what I really want is a free experience of driving. Well, I can have that at 10 miles slower. So here's the deal. We need to speak about what we want instead, because why? What we speak about determines what we believe. What we believe becomes what we expect. And what we expect becomes what happens to us, becomes our experience. Okay, we start with what we declare, becomes what we believe, becomes what we expect, becomes our experience. Got that? So it's in that what we believe part that we're building our cages around ourselves. Are we going to believe something that builds up a cage, or are we going to believe something that tears down the cage? It's our choice. We're free. So I was so glad to hear you guys. Mallory, thank you for lighting all the candles. And Christine, thank you for telling about all of the various religions, because one of the ones I really like a lot is Hinduism. And there's a book. Have any of you read the Ramayana? There's a book, a high holy book in Hinduism called the Ramayana. It's the story of Rama. And there's a story in there. I didn't bring it up with me. So there's one god, not the big god Brahma, but one of the gods, and for lack of a better, and for lack of knowing his real name, let's call him George, okay? And so George gets in crossways with one of the demons, all right? And this demon comes up and just whips around him all of these tethers, these invisible strings of energy that he whips around him so that George can't move except to talk, right? And he's screaming up at Brahma, Brahma, look at what the demon did to me. Now you get down here and take care of that demon and free me. So Brahma comes down after a whole lot of bitching, and Brahma comes down and basically unties him and everything, says, what do you want? The guy says, I just want to be free. He unties him and he says, and of course this George is trying to blame everything on the demon, and Brahma says to him, you could have been free at any moment just by declaring it. You could have been free at any moment just by declaring it. But what was happening with George is that George got so engrossed in his complaints, which I admit I do myself. But he got so involved in his complaints and his blaming that he forgot that he could just declare that he was free. How many times do we let the cages and the tethers keep us from declaring what it is we want? So, in talking about freedom today, we are going to talk about the first step of just declaring. Now, let's go back for a second to the Declaration of Independence. Remember I said declare what you want? Declaration of Independence. Declare. Declaration. Do you see? I mean, now think about it. Back then, England is flexing their muscle against the fledgling U.S., or what was soon to be the U.S. They're doing all sorts of things. They're enacting laws that the colonists don't like. They're doing all kinds of things. They even said, well, in order to keep down the uprising, we're bringing over soldiers, and you guys have to house them and feed them. Now, come on, if that's not imposition, I don't know what. So But think about the cage they were in. The cage they were in was the belief that the king tells us what to do and we do it. It doesn't matter how much we dislike it or how much we complain about it. When the king speaks and has a rule, we all abide by it, right? That's how they all thought at the time. But then there were a few people who rose up and said, wait a minute, we're sitting around complaining. What do we want instead? Well, we don't want that. I know, but what do we want? Well, we just want the king to get out of here. What do we want? We want to rule ourselves. We think we know what's good for us. We want to rule ourselves. And so they ended up declaring, with the Declaration of Independence, they ended up declaring what it was they wanted. And that declaration, that freedom to choose to declare what they wanted, was the beginning of a contagion that spread and became the revolution that caused us to experience the independence that we know now. Declaration, first step, declaration. It's as easy as, okay, what am I complaining about? What do I want instead? I declare that. Think about something you're complaining about. You all have something. Even if it's, I wish you would get off stage. No. You all have something you're complaining about. So now think about, what do I want instead? What do I want instead? Without blaming, without accusing, what do I want? What's underneath? Freedom, love, a feeling of abundance. What do I want instead? And declare it. Just say, I declare this in my life. Go ahead, out loud. I declare freedom in my life. I declare peace in my life. I declare love in my life. Come on, give me some things that you declare. It's funny, I declare. Now come on, get speak for some things, whether it's money or peace or harmony. I declare prosperity. Good. I declare something. That's the first step. Okay, now the second step, that's the first step in tearing down your cages. The first step in getting rid of those tethers. The second step, I'm only going to give you two, so don't try to feel like I'm going to give you 20. The second step is that your mind, when you say, I declare, there's a little part of your mind, a teeny little errant part of your mind that's saying, BS. That's not who you are. You can't have that. It's impossible. Right? Isn't there that part of you? That little part that's saying, yeah, you're declaring that, but what if that's not possible? And what if you don't have the money? And what if you have no time? And what if people hate you for it? And what if, I mean, have you guys ever heard those voices? They're loud in me. It's the sound of the cages being built up again around me. The declaration starts to tear it down. But those little, well, what if I can't do it? What if I don't know how? What if there's not enough time and energy, right? Do you hear the sound of the cages being built again? Instead, use that same technology to fool your mind into being in agreement. What do I mean by that? If you start using what if, now this is a technique taught by Mindy Audlin. If you start using what if for something good, then all of a sudden miracles can happen. Here's what I mean. Let's say you want to leave your job and take a new position that's a little, you know, doesn't seem like it might be as quite as secure. So you declare that you're going to go for this new job. And then your mind says, but what if you fail? And then what if you have to leave after a year? And what if this and what if that? Instead of letting your mind go down, say, what if I succeed? And what if it's the most fabulous work I've ever done in my life? And what if I make more friends than I've ever had before? And what if I even find that love of my life in this new line of work? And what if I end up making more money than I ever had before? Now, here's what happens. When you start with that line of reasoning, your mind doesn't come back and say, no, you can't have that. It starts like you're asking questions. And so it goes, huh, wow. Wow, what if this could be the best thing that ever happened? Huh, let me think about that. Wow, what if this and this? So it's almost like fooling your mind into declaring that good with you. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, if you come to the workshop this afternoon, we're going to talk a little bit more about that, all right? So I just want to let you know that. But, so those are the two techniques. You want more freedom, then choose to declare. Look at your complaints and choose to declare what it is you want. Got that? Okay, the second thing is when you start hearing all those little voices going, oh my God, but what if I fail? Oh my God, but what if this is a disaster? What if I don't know how to do it? What if people laugh at me? What if I have to work too hard? When you hear that, start asking, but what if it's laborless? What if it's joyful? What if it's fun? And what if this is easy? And what if I feel more included and more harmonious with everyone in the world because of this? And what if this? So do that what if up talk. Okay, is there anyone that doesn't understand it? Because if there is, then we'll spend another 20 minutes on that, okay? Okay, no, we understand. We understand. So those are your two techniques. As you want to tear down the cages of bondage, the cages of not being able to go for what you want in life, if you want to tear down those cages and truly be able to go free, then look at what you're complaining about and declare what you really want. Declare it out loud to someone who's supported. Declare it to God. Isn't that what prayer is? Okay, and then second thing, when you start hearing those messages of, yeah, but what if I'm going to fail? Then just turn to God and say, but what if I succeed? What if it's good? What if it's fun? What if because of this, I become a bigger blessing to the world? What if because of this, I can infect the entire world with greater freedom? What if because of this, I enact my divine nature of freedom? And so let's pray.